It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Sandy Rios. This is Matt Barber, founder of barbwire.com, sitting in for Sandy today, and what an honor it is to do so. Sandy is a very good friend of mine and a fellow combatant, if you will, in the ongoing culture wars that seem to be becoming more and more heated on a daily basis. I'm reminded of when President Obama said that the culture wars were so 90s, kind of mocking conservatives and Christians who are just trying to kind of hold the line and defend our founding principles and this, the greatest nation on earth. But it seems that it's the left that are the aggressors and are constantly on the offense. And those of us who are trying to defend our constitutional Republican form of government who are on the defense. But it's just a real pleasure and honor to be with you today. Big shoes to fill, obviously, with Sandy. Before we get jump into some of the news of the day, obviously the top story kind of around the world is this just horrific towering inferno in West London. The last reports I saw indicate that there were 6 confirmed deaths that may have already gone up. They're expecting it to rise. So I would just ask that you take a moment today. Great Britain has been reeling with the terror, the Islamic terrorist attacks that have been occurring, and I expect more will come because of the lack, the failure of the government there to protect the people from the migration jihad that is occurring there, open borders. And now this on top of it. So we need to be praying for the people of Great Britain, and particularly for those involved in this horrible towering inferno. No terrorism. My understanding is that they think it was a faulty refrigerator that caused this, and within 15 minutes, the entire 27-foot structure was up in flames. So let's keep them in our prayers. But on to the big news from yesterday. We saw yet again another kangaroo court in Washington, D.C., a star chamber, a circus, as Attorney General Sessions testified before the United States Senate. And boy, he handled it the way that I think you have to handle it. We have to understand that Democrats, progressives, secular progressives, particularly the left, if you will, the resistance, as they like to call themselves, are they have one goal, and that goal is to bring down President Trump. And there are even Republicans in the mix here, establishment Republicans, that I think wouldn't be all that unhappy if President Trump were to go. So Senator Sessions testified yesterday and called this Russiagate hoax, this notion somehow that the president and his campaign and others were colluding with this great conspiracy theory of the 2016 election, that they're colluding with Russians to try to take the election from Hillary Clinton, and that he had some kind of involvement in it. He called it scurrilous and false allegations. He said it was detestable and appalling. And I agree 100%. That's the kind of language you have to use. Far too often, conservatives and Republicans and Christians, especially evangelicals, I think, try to be nicer than Jesus. Well, as I recall, Jesus, you know, was known to flip over some tables and crack a whip and call people a brood of vipers. And I mean, you know, righteous anger is perfectly appropriate and called for, especially when one is being attacked with scurrilous and scandalous and detestable and appalling, to use the language of Attorney General Sessions, lies. So some great fireworks yesterday from the hearing. Particularly, I enjoyed an exchange between Senator Tom Cotton and Attorney General Sessions. Let's go ahead and listen to that right now.
Do you like spy fiction? John Le Carre, Daniel Silva, Jason Matthews?
Yeah, Alan first. David Jason Ignatius. Bond. Just Jason finished Bourne Ignatius's book.
Do you like Jason Bourne or James Bond movies?
No. Yes. I do.
Have you ever, in any of these fantastical situations, heard of a plot line so ridiculous that a sitting United States senator and an ambassador of a foreign government colluded at an open setting with hundreds of other people to pull off the greatest caper in the history of espionage?
Thank you for saying that, Senator Cotton. It's just like through the looking glass. I mean, what is this? I explained how, in good faith, I said I had not met with Russians because they were suggesting I, as a surrogate, had been meeting continuously with Russians. I said I didn't meet with them. And now, the next thing you know, I'm accused of some reception plotting some sort of influence campaign for the American election. It's just beyond my capability to understand, and I really appreciate, Mr. Chairman, the opportunity at least to be able to say publicly, I didn't participate in that and know nothing about it.
Great stuff, and kudos to Senators Cotton and former Senator Sessions, now the sitting United States Attorney General. And boy, would liberals and Democrats love to have Senator Sessions' head mounted on the wall, figuratively, of course, politically speaking, of course, although I'm not fully convinced that that they wouldn't like to literally have his head on a wall or on a silver platter. They, you know, once again, another letdown. We had the big buildup, the fake news, mainstream media talk. Is this it for Senator Sessions? Is he going to have to resign? Is he going to face charges? And once again, they were let down, and Senator Sessions and Senator Cotton and others, other Republicans, they handled it how it needs to be handled. I often say we need to out Alinsky the Alinskyites. And of course, I'm referring to Saul Alinsky, Hillary Clinton's mentor, wrote the book Rules for Radicals, President Obama's hero. And a general hero to the left. He kind of wrote the blueprint for left wing propaganda and how to implement that propaganda in public policy and to maintain control over government. And he one of the things that Saul Alinsky talked about is the effectiveness of ridicule. The tool of ridicule, and I'm sometimes criticized even by Christians and others for some of my columns, in that I use ridicule. I use humor, and I mock the insanity that is the secular progressive, the leftist worldview. And you have to mock them, and it really disarms the left, and it reveals them to be engaged in the foolishness that they are when you do so. And Senator Sessions, this idea that this is some great conspiracy theory, a spy novel, is spot on. And so, you know, I was just so encouraged by his testimony yesterday. And he refused, and Democrats are up in arms, that he refused to answer questions directly relating to conversations that he has had in the past with President Trump, which is exactly what he's supposed to do. That is privileged conversation between the president. There is no even real suggestion that Senator Sessions committed any crime here. That president, and we know now for a fact that even someone who clearly has an axe to grind with President Trump, that would be former FBI Director Jim Comey, a disgruntled fired employee who took an opportunity to try to smack back at the president on his way out with his big letdown of a testimony, the idea being that that either President Trump or anyone within his administration or having any involvement with his campaign before the election and during the election cycle, that they had any criminal involvement in any kind of collusion with Russia or in any other respect, that idea has been completely shot down, even by James Comey's own testimony, wherein James Comey said that unequivocally that President Trump, and he told President Trump on three separate occasions, and I know we've been talking about this since last Thursday, but the mainstream media doesn't want to let go of it. It continues to be at the top of the news cycle, as does so this whole Russian gate conspiracy theory continues to monopolize the news cycle and distract from what the president needs to be doing, should be doing, and what our government and we, as we the people, elect our government representatives to do, and that is to represent us. That's it. And so this president continues to forge ahead with his legislative agenda, and has essentially taken the wind completely out of the sails now of this whole Russiagate theory. So what have they done? What has the left done? What has the fake news media done now? They've called an audible. They've said, okay, well, the Russiagate thing, clearly we can't continue to perseverate over that because that's going nowhere. Now we have Jim Comey corroborating what President Trump said in his letter terminating his employment with the Federal Bureau of Investigations, that he was never under investigation, that he was told three times. So they've called an audible. Now the word you'll keep hearing and you keep hearing in the news is obstruction of justice. And we're going to, after the break, we've got a little time here before the break, but I'm going to have a clip for you, Alan Dershowitz, on the Neil Cavuto show on Fox News. He just blows this whole idea out of the water that somehow President Trump obstructed justice when he allegedly, and again, this is allegedly, it's a he said, there's no direct evidence, no tangible evidence that President Trump ever asked James Comey to do anything to scale back the Russia investigation, the focus, of course, particularly on General Flynn and his interactions with the Russian ambassador over the phone, which was leaked, by the way. All of this information was illegally leaked by who? I wonder if it wasn't James Comey himself. We now know that James Comey, one of the big things that came out of his testimony last week, is that he is perhaps the one who has been illegally undermining the executive branch of the government all along. It makes me wonder. He was willing to leak his alleged memos that he wrote, which is written on government time, which is government work product, which is not his own personal work product, that it belongs to the government, written on government laptops on government time about privileged conversations with the president. He leaked that information. He confessed to leaking that information. And so the revelations that came out of his testimony have, as President Trump said, he feels completely and totally exonerated, and he should, as well he should, because this has all been a hoax from the very beginning. It has all been, as President Trump said during his statement after the Comey hearing, that this was all designed to distract from the fact that Hillary Clinton got whooped in the election, and Democrats are up in arms over that. So we're going to take a break. I'm going to come back, talk about Alan Dershowitz, talk about this idea that President obstructed justice somehow by doing his job, exercising his constitutional authority as president. We'll be right back.
A boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. That is a highlight of our tour of the Holy Land when we go on the boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. A special time to be on the very water where Jesus walked, where he spent time with his disciples. And you know, in fact, you're the place where Jesus was. So many sights we're going to see in the Holy Land that are just like that. We know Jesus was here. The trip is in March, March 8th through the 16th. And we'd love for you to come with us. So many places we're going to see, you've read about since you were a child. For more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to you in the mail, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, extension 5.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where did whales come from?
Good question, Chris. Evolution teaches that a land animal evolved into a whale. Darwin thought it might be bears. More recently, it was thought that a cow-like animal evolved into whales, then a wolf-like animal. There's so little fossil support for any of them. The new field of genomics points out that the hippo's DNA is the most similar to whales, and so that's a favored one now. The point is, the evidence for evolution is minimal at best. Often, the stories that they tell are self-contradictory and poorly supported by evidence. The one idea that fits all the evidence is the scriptural idea that God created sea creatures on day 5 and land creatures on day 6, each one after their kind, without evolutionary transitions. And that's the way it is back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Paul Kizito. I'm a junior biology major here at Truett McConnell, and I came from Uganda. What I love about TMU is number one is the heart of, you know, of just the school and the love for God, for Christ. You can see it once you step on the campus. Like, you can see it's best, like, the foundation for TMU is Christianity.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
A standing ovation and cheers. That was the response to the New York Public Theater's rendition of Julius Caesar, the one featuring a graphic assassination of a President Trump-like character complete with blonde hair and an exceptionally long necktie. Theater executive Oscar Eustace defended the violent faux assassination. He said the real story is what he called the right-wing hate machine. He went on to say their production is in no way advocating violence, which is a bit hard to believe when the audience is left staring at the bloody corpse of an actor with a big necktie. Artistic license is one thing. Pretending to assassinate the president is another, whether it's President Obama or President Trump. And I believe it says a lot about who we are as a nation when theatergoers are entertained by watching a brutal murder. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, folks. This is Matt Barber, founder of barbwire.com, sitting in this morning for Sandy. And we've got some breaking news just coming across the wire. Evidently, Steve Scalise, the House Majority Whip, has been shot in Virginia. And an aide was also hit. So far, there have been no reports definitively that either of the two that any life has been taken. But reading from the Fox News breaking story here, it says House Majority Whip Steve Scalise was shot in the hip, and at least one other aide was also hit in the chest by a gunman with a rifle who opened fire at a baseball practice in Virginia Wednesday morning. Fox News confirmed. Police tweeted they believed the gunman was in custody. Senator Mike Lee told Fox News, however, the gunman was dead. He said a staffer used a belt as a tourniquet to stop Scalise's bleeding. Both the president and the vice president are aware of the developing situation, and they said their thoughts and prayers are with all of those affected. Sean Spicer tweeted that the shots were reported on East Monroe Street in Del Rey, Alexandria. at about 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time. The location was near YMCA. Scalise, 51, is the House Majority Whip. He has represented Louisiana's 1st Congressional District since 2008 and chairs the House Republican Study Committee. He is married with 2 children. Scalise's district includes New Orleans. And obviously, our prayers are with Steve Scalise, with his family, with his aide, who has been shot, injured in the chest. And we just pray that that this will resolve in a way where they both survive. But it would be speculation to try to determine what the motive was behind this at this point. But this is a developing story. Sure makes you wonder with all of the heated rhetoric and the violent rhetoric we're seeing coming from the left with this outrageous play with President Trump being assassinated and the left's defense of that play. Man, they are becoming unhinged. We don't know yet if, you know, what the motive is of this individual was. That remains to be seen. So our thoughts, our prayers are with Steve Scalise, his family, and his aide, and that aide's family. Back to discussing the James Comey hearing and this new meme that we're being battered over the head with by the fake news media, that somehow President Trump obstructed justice by allegedly in a private conversation with FBI Director Jim Comey, telling him that hey, can you just lay off a little bit? I hope you can find it, you know, let this guy off, meaning General Flynn, relative to his conversations with the ambassador, which was all became public through illegally leaked information in the first place. Well, Alan Dershowitz is a very liberal Harvard Law School professor, law professor, an expert in constitutional law and criminal law. And Dershowitz is very well respected on the left and even on the right. I often disagree with the things that he has to say, but he at least has the integrity, I believe, to try to objectively look at the Constitution. And even if it doesn't necessarily help him from a political standpoint, he usually will kind of give you the straight answer and the bottom line. He did that. He was interviewing on Fox News with Neil Cavuto on his program, and he talked about this notion that somehow the president obstructed justice. Well, by trying to allegedly bring a close to this investigation of General Flynn. And Dershowitz says, no, it's absurd. He says there's no plausible case whatsoever that Trump obstructed justice. He was completely within the constitutional authority that he is granted by the United States Constitution, even if he directly told Comey, shut down this investigation. Let's take a minute here. Let's listen to Alan Dershowitz.
Comey did something very good, I thought, and very right today. He said unequivocally, for the first time it's ever been said by a public official, agreed with what I've been saying for the last several months, namely, the president has the authority to direct the head of the FBI to stop investigating anyone. According to Comey, Comey says it is clear under the Constitution the president can decide who should be prosecuted, who shouldn't be prosecuted, who should be investigated, who shouldn't be investigated. I've been saying this for months, and everybody has been criticizing me for saying it. And now you have the director of the FBI saying the same thing. So I think this puts an end to any claim that President Trump obstructed justice. You can't obstruct justice by simply exercising your power under the Constitution. You can't be obstructing justice by firing Comey. He had the right to fire Comey. And you can't be obstructing justice even if you told the director of the FBI to stop the investigation. Of course, he didn't do that. He just said,
even
I hope
you said that out,
you will
even
let
if you said outright, no, this thing stops now.
Yes. I mean, that's what Comey said. Comey's 100% right. We have a unitary executive. Under our unitary executive, the president's in charge of the Justice Department. He can say, no, he can't say we'll prosecute only white people and not black people, or only women but not men. He can't say that. That would be unconstitutional. But he can say, I want to prosecute cocaine users. I want to prosecute so-and-so who was a cocaine user. I don't want to prosecute this guy because he's a good guy. And what he basically said to Comey is, look, Ryan, Flynn has suffered enough. He's a good guy. You agree he's a good guy. I hope you will lay off him. That is within the power of the president to do, and he could have gone much further. Look, he could have ended the investigation of Flynn in another way. He could have just said to Comey, I've just pardoned Flynn. You therefore have no jurisdiction to continue to conduct a criminal investigation. He has been pardoned.
What a powerful statement. And, you know, so all this caterwauling by the left and by some Democrat congressmen and women and senators, and certainly the blabbering heads on the left on MSNBC and CNN, they just so hate this president that they will grab onto any tiny little morsel of hope that there's some way for them to get rid of President Trump because he represents such a threat. And don't get me wrong, I absolutely do not agree with every policy position that this president takes. I don't agree with many of his stated positions on social issues, on some of the very important social issues. But, you know, the threat that he represents, he is a clear and present danger to the left, to their secular progressive socialist big government agenda. He is scaling all of that back and threatens to undo the Obama legacy and you know, please, Lord, let him undo the destructive Obama legacy. They recognize that he is serious in many ways about what he said during the campaign and that he's going to do this. Quote, the president has the authority to direct the head of the FBI to stop investigating anyone, Dershowitz said. I think this puts an end to any claim that President Trump obstructed justice. And, you know, that something that has stumped me is I even hear a number of commentators whom I agree on most issues, not addressing this directly head on. Every time the notion of obstruction of justice comes up, the conservative commentators need to say, no, that's a non-starter. Absolutely not. The role and function of the president, it is one of his many roles and functions under Article 2, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution, is that he quote, he shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. He is the chief law enforcement officer under the United States Constitution, and all 15 agencies fall, the State Department, the Department of Justice, all of these departments fall under him, and he can hire or fire or nominate, if you will, with the advice and consent of the United States Senate, anybody he wants to run the FBI, to you know, the FBI director is a relatively, in the scheme of our nation's history, relatively new position under the Department of Justice, and he can fire the FBI director at his pleasure. It's basically he's an at-will employee. The president has constitutional authority to say, you know, I don't like the guy. He, you know, I don't get along with him. I don't think he's doing a good job. You're out of here. That's basically what he did. We can speculate as to why, but the point is, it doesn't matter why. He had every constitutional authority, and well, he should have, as we now know, seeing this disgruntled fired employee try to take Trump down on the way out. He couldn't do it. He was basically shadow boxing. President Trump was on the ropes and slipping and bobbing and weaving, and Comey couldn't lay a glove on him, and that has become abundantly clear. So they've shifted the narrative now to Trump obstructed justice. Well, Alan Dershowitz, again, has completely blown that out of the water. Now, here's the question. Who has obstructed justice? Has anybody obstructed justice? Many people are now saying, based on Comey's own testimony, that if anyone obstructed justice, it was the former AG under Obama, Loretta Lynch. Comey acknowledged that Loretta Lynch tried to influence him on the investigation into Hillary's illegal email server and the leaked emails that, you know, we don't know if they came. There's evidence that seems to indicate that they may have come from a staffer within the DNC. The narrative, of course, is that Russia got a hold of the, but they were unsecured, an unsecured server, private server, You know the story. We've heard about it ad nauseum. But with Loretta Lynch meeting on the tarmac with Bill Clinton, clear obstruction of justice, if not just the appearance, and she should have recused herself. She refused to do so. And then the news that has come out this past week that Comey approached her with a memo with a conversation, an email conversation between a couple, I believe they were two United States Democrat senators in the know with information that suggested that Loretta Lynch intended to put the kibosh on the Hillary Clinton investigation. He presented that to her in his as some new information has come out in his closed meeting with senators. James Comey said that she just returned a steely-eyed stare and kicked him out of the office, again refusing to recuse herself. And so if anyone obstructed justice, we need to be looking into the Obama administration. We need to be looking into these leaks. And now we know, based on Comey's own admission, that he is a leaker, that he leaked government documents relative to an ongoing investigation, not directly to the New York Times, but the coward leaked it to a buddy of his, a professor, so that he could leak the information to the New York Times. So he didn't, you know, one thing that Comey kept saying, he talked about, you know, I'm not Captain Courageous and all of these things. I was afraid. I was scared. You know, do we want a scared, frightened, timid little kitten as our FBI director? No. And by Comey's own admission, that certainly seems to be the position his character within the FBI was to not really take on anybody, but to use these underhanded tactics, these backdoor channels to leaking information. So the question is, what other information has James Comey leaked? I want to open up the phone lines if you'd like to weigh in on this. 1-888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Love to hear your thoughts on any of these issues we've been discussing so far this morning. I mentioned in the first segment, you know, Saul Alinsky and his rules for radicals. We are seeing it being played out in a textbook manner here with America's Pravda media and their propagandist media. No wonder CNN, MSNBC, the major networks, NBC, CBS, continue to lose credibility. They have revealed themselves to be a wholly owned subsidiary of the Democrat Party, and they are going to do everything they can to bring this president down. And President Trump is fighting back. Senator Sessions is fighting back. We need to see more support from the Republican leadership in the House and in the Senate. And, you know, you have to wonder what's going to happen if they continue to just kind of let this president fight on his own without providing any cover for him. Where is the Republican leadership in helping to defend this president? We've got Patsy in Louisiana calling. Patsy, how are you doing this morning? Well, Patsy doesn't seem to be coming through. Let's try line four here. Hello. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the morning.
Yes, good morning. Yeah, I'd like to weigh in on the conversation. It seems like people have forgotten that Comey went in to a private meeting with Obama, and then within 2 hours he came out and had set up and lied to the American people. First of all, told everybody that, ran down the whole gauntlet of why she is guilty.
Yeah.
And then set up.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, right. We're coming up on a hard break. Appreciate the thoughts. Yeah. The point being, the hypocrisy on the left abounds. Do as we say, not as we do. Of course, the mainstream media doesn't want to talk about any of that. We'll be right back on Sandy Rios of the Morning. This is Matt Barber sitting in for Sandy.
But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge." My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Article 6 of the Constitution prohibits the use of religious tests to qualify executive officers. But that didn't stop Bernie Sanders from asking Russell Vought, President Trump's nominee for Deputy Director of the White House Office of Management and Budget, whether he believed non-Christians would be condemned. Because Vought believes the Bible's teaching on eternal life, Bernie Sanders opposed his confirmation. Kind of gives new meaning to feel the burn, doesn't it?
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The AFA Cultural Institute presents Revive Us Again, a powerful new DVD featuring David Butts of Harvest Prayer Ministries.
We need to experience the presence of Christ in a fresh, new way.
Revive Us Again outlines the history and meaning of revival and practical ways to pray for it.
It's time for another great awakening in the United States.
Revive Us Again is available from the AFA Cultural Institute at afastore.net.
Hello, I'm Gary Roby, host of Call to Worship, heard each Sunday on American Family Radio. This one-hour program will lead you in a special time of worship and praise. We will focus on God's Word, spoken, and in music. Call to Worship has a different topic each week as we glorify God together. Be sure to join us at 5 a.m. Central each Sunday for a Call to Worship right here on American Family Radio.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. And that is a beautiful thing, too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. Now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. During President Trump's remarks last month in Saudi Arabia, he memorably called on the assembled Sunni Muslim leaders to drive out Islamic extremists in their midst. Several of the most important countries represented have seemingly responded by punishing one of their number most deeply involved in supporting and underwriting the global jihad movement, Qatar. Washington has long ignored Qatar's insidious role, largely due to the sprawling and important military base America operates there. That was especially true under President Obama, who shared the Qatari government's desire to expand the influence of the Muslim Brotherhood, a Sharia supremacist organization seeking to supplant secular, pro-Western allies in the Middle East and ultimately destroy this country from within. President Trump has described Qatar as a funder of terrorism at a very high level and applauded the crackdown on it as hard but necessary. He's absolutely right. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. This is Matt Barber sitting in for Sandy. Taking your calls at 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, talking about the fake news media and Senator Sessions' testimony, talking about James Comey's testimony. Love to hear what you have to say. Got the phone lines are lighting up here. I've got Scott on line two, who says he went to high school with me. Scott, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Remind me of which high school?
Gunnison High School.
Okay, I know which.
Gunnison, Colorado.
Gotcha. And that's
guess
what, Scott?
Confused.
Nope. I know who you are. Yeah, and I'm broadcasting from Gunnison, Colorado, here on the Western Slope. Right now, beautiful, sunny Gunnison, Colorado. Wow, Scott, it's been, what, 30-something years since we've talked, but welcome to Sandy Rios in the morning. Yeah. What do you got on your mind, Scott?
Well, you know, I just want to thank you for doing what you're doing, and, you know, we're friends on Facebook, and just the clarity and of the information you put out is great, and I can't urge people enough to, you know, to watch what you write and pay attention, but also to pay attention to what Saul Alinsky has written. You know, get the book, read it, and understand the enemy, because you're absolutely right. That is what the media and the left is doing, is that book is just being played out, and it's unbelievable. So that book and reading it brought me clarity to everything that I watch. You just watch it and see it in everything they do once you have an understanding of that book. So, you know, I just want to thank you again for everything you're doing, Matt. And it's great to hear your voice. It's great to follow your work. And I know you're a fighter and a good Christian man. And wow, what a privilege it's been to just kind of sit in the shadows and watch what you're doing over the last few years. And now I'm talking to you in my hometown, Gunnison. What a great place that is, isn't it?
Yeah, just absolutely beautiful and really enjoying it out here. I'm kind of on a sabbatical here and enjoying it. But Scott, great to talk with you, man. Thanks for the call. We'll follow up on Facebook and hopefully get together at some point. Folks, I promise you, I did not pay Scott to call in and say all of those nice things about me. But, you know, on this idea of rules for radicals, my 16-year-old son, he read that book when he was 13. And he said, Dad, he came to me and said, I finally get why you say all the things you're saying about liberals. I get it. I read it out of their own idea. Don't forget, that book was dedicated. Saul Alinsky dedicated that book to Lucifer. This is the blueprint that the left uses. It is a book that was dedicated to the rules for radicals, talking about ways to disrupt, to get around the truth, to create false narratives, false memes, propaganda. And yeah, I encourage everyone to read that book. If you really want to get into the mind of people like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and the mainstream fake news media, read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. But good stuff. Great to hear from Scott. We're going to go with David in Louisiana. David, welcome to Sandy Rios in the morning.
Thank you, sir. A comment that Comey made during questioning, they asked him, what did he feel, what was his thoughts when he heard that there may be recorded, Trump may have recorded their conversation, and his comment was, well, it may not be my word against his now. You know, why didn't Republicans jump on this and ask him, you know, what exactly do you mean? You know, is there a false comment in your memo? You know, they let this guy skate on this.
Yeah, well, that was a pretty clever, I think, actually, statement by James Comey. It was a you know, good political judo for President Trump to kind of push forward with this threat. And it remains to be seen whether it was an empty threat or whether it's reality. We don't know. The president is playing coy a little bit and having some fun with the mainstream media on the alleged White House tapes in the West Wing there in the Oval Office. Whether or not they exist remains to be seen. But Comey, you know, in his originally stating, and thanks for the call, David, and is originally stating that, well, then maybe there's some information out there that would corroborate, you know, my testimony. That's a way of saying, well, even if there are tapes, they're just going to corroborate what I had to say in the first place. So that remains to be seen. And it really, whether or not the tapes exist, it is kind of a squirrel. You know, the dog sees the squirrel, he runs, he quits doing what he's doing. He chases the squirrel across the lawn. That's what the media is doing here. And every time the media think they have one up on President Trump, he turns around and, you know, distracts them from their narrative and gets them onto another narrative They continue to underestimate this president, just that, just like they did Ronald Reagan. They think he's stupid. They think he's a bumbling fool. He is no fool. I promise you that. Let's go to Sam. And Sam, are you in Missouri?
Yes.
Sam in Missouri.
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, what are your thoughts?
Something that people need to look at is with the politicians doing the things that they're doing, there's provisions in each state's constitution to recall the senators and the congressmen, and they need to start seriously looking at it and bringing it to the governor and get the governor to show that the people are had enough. I mean, I'm here with Claire McCaskill in her district, and she's an uphill battle, but, you know, Roy Blunt isn't much better than her. So we've started the petitions here to send them to the other Republican parties in the other counties to start the recall notices. And if they've got any spine in them,
go ahead. Let me ask you this, Sam. What is it that has you... Now, are you talking primarily about Democrats? Are you talking about Democrats and Republicans?
I'm talking about all of them. They're all corrupt. They're all the same. There's no difference in the fight between the two. They're all the same.
You know, I often say, Sam, I'm a Christian first, a conservative second, and a Republican, you know, occasionally when they're behaving themselves. And what do you think about the Republican leaderships? You know, there are sins of commission and sins of omission. And I'm seeing some blaring sins of omission here in terms of the Republican leaderships in the House and the Senate in their willful failure to, first of all, work with President Trump on his legislative agenda, but to offer him any you know, they need to have his flank. They need to have his back, but they just sit back idly by, quiet, don't say anything, don't defend this president when you can see that he's clearly under assault by mainstream media, by these leftist Democrats, and some of them, like John McCain, even play into the narrative. They, in Lindsey Graham, and, you know, they come in, and they're as bad, if not worse, than the left, because they should know better. What is it, a little more specifically, that has you so angry at the establishment, be it Democrats or Republicans?
Well, I'm a Christian first, and that's a constitutionalist after that. That's this country. I fought and bled for this country back during Vietnam and
Thank
all the way up
service.
Until the middle of the 80s.
Thank
and
you for your service.
They're all the same. McCain should have never been elected if they'd ever play the tapes that he did when he was a POW so that he would get special treatment. The people of Arizona, that's their shame on them. But the vets have been speaking out about him since the late 70s when he started his run for political office. And the politicians are just, they get their marching orders from whoever's paying them. And if they have a choice between the people, which they haven't been able to fully rig all the votes across the country yet, or their money, then they're going to have to make the choice. And just like as a Christian, you're going to have to stand and be accountable for what your actions are. And this is the time that this country is being shown by God to stand up and make your voice be heard, or you're going to go under, one or the other.
Amen, Sam. Thanks for the call. Thanks for your insights. Going to take one more call here. We're going to go to Patsy in Louisiana. Patsy, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Well, you kind of stole my thunder, Matt, when you started talking about the Republicans. I'm so discouraged and disappointed because we have the establishment Republicans, and then the others, of course, I always thought my congressman was a good guy, but they're all weak. They're not working for we the people. We sent them up there to do a job, and they're not doing the job. And I'm so discouraged that they're not supporting President Trump. Like you said, they need to be ashamed of themselves. But I have a quick question. I thought George Soros was in this country illegally and was supposed to be deported. You know, the guy that's providing all the money for all the riots and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happened with that?
You know, I'm not real sure about George Soros being deported. We know that he is certainly part of the big globalist movement and trying to undermine national sovereignty here in the United States, and we cannot let him do that. He is a bad guy, to be sure. Patsy, thanks for the call. Well, folks, just a little time left here. I want to shift gears real quickly. First of all, a little shameless plug for barbwire.com, barbwire.com. Politics and culture, news and opinion from a decidedly biblical worldview. I'm the founder. I encourage you to check out the site, sign up for our daily newsletter, get on the Barb Wire, and love for you to do that. Also want to encourage you today to visit AFA.net. And I want to thank Tim Wildman. I want to thank Sandy Rios. I want to thank the entire AFR crew for having me on today. You wouldn't believe the work that goes behind a production like this. And the producers and the guys working the board and everything that put these shows together are just the consummate professionals. And it's just a joy and honor. Go to AFA.net. A couple big petitions to focus on there right now. First of all, we have got to call our senators, tell them to switch to a majority vote and defund Planned Parenthood. There's no excuse any longer. President Trump has said he wants to defund Planned Parenthood. The Republicans have voted in the past when it wouldn't really go through to defund Planned Parenthood. Sign the petition to defund Planned Parenthood. There, it is absolutely unconscionable that our hard-earned money, the money you work for every day, is going to fund the dismemberment, the live dismemberment of the youngest and most innocent and most helpless of our fellow citizens here. Planned Parenthood is every bit as bad as the Third Reich, in that they dehumanized, just as Hitler and the Nazis dehumanized the Jews, they dehumanize preborn children and experiment on them and sell their body parts for profit. You can't make this stuff up. There is no excuse whatsoever that $500 million a year in taxpayer dollars would be going to fund this horrific racist organization. So I encourage you to go and sign that petition. There's also a very important action alert up there on AFA.net right now. Another woman has been violated in a Target store. This time in Texas, a voyeur, a pervert, taking advantage of Target's radical pro-LGBT policy that opens up the restrooms and the changing facilities to men so that they can ogle and potentially sexually assault your wives, your daughters. Go sign the petition today. Another woman caught a man taking pictures of her as she was changing into bathing suits and so forth. The Target, the AFA-led boycott of Target has been masterful so far. They are losing billions of dollars in profit and so forth. So, folks, again, thanks for joining me today. It was a pleasure to guest host Sandy Rios in the morning to be with you. And I look forward to coming back again on the AFR network. God bless you. God bless America. Stand strong, folks. The war is on. It's time to start fighting back. Let's fight back. Let's fight for Christ. Let's fight for the truths found in the Bible. And those truths, of course, are the foundation of our constitutional Republican form of government. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.